Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Well, let's go up to 22, verse 66. This is right after Peter denied Christ. Christ has been betrayed and arrested. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him unto the council, their council, saying, and this, they came to the Sanhedrin. Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Now, the Sanhedrin was near the temple, and they had to go now to Pilate, who was in the fortress Antonia, which was, 1,000 yards or so from the Sanhedrin. And they brought him to Pilate, and they begin to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. Now, again, what we're dealing with here is Pilate is commissioned by the Romans to keep order in the provinces. And so now we have the chief priests, the government, if you will, coming to Pilate, demanding that this fellow be crucified. They had to have permission from the Romans to do it. Do you understand? And they begin to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation, which wouldn't have been a crime against the Roman, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. That's their kicker. And saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests, to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. Now, why did he ask that? Because that's out of his jurisdiction. It's the Tetrarch of Galilee is Herod. Pilate was over Judea. Got it? So he heard he was a Galilean, so now he says he's got an excuse to get rid of. He doesn't have to deal with this problem. He don't want to deal with this problem. As soon as he knew that he belonged into Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at this time. And we don't know for sure where Herod held court in Jerusalem. Herod was this weirdo that was supposedly part Jewish, and you remember all that, and he was related, he's the Amalek persona. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and hoped to have seen some miracle done by him.
He's waiting his whole life, right?
Huh?
I mean, well, is this the same guy that killed the babies?
No, this is his
This is the one that killed John the Baptist.
Yeah, this is the guy that killed John the Baptist.
His father killed the babies.
Right. I guess it's his, wasn't it his father?
Or was it his
father? Herod, yeah, it was, yeah, it was his father.
Yeah, it was his
father. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. He wouldn't, you know, look, he talked to the Sanhedrin. He talked to, at least said, thou sayest it to Pilate. But when it came to Herod, to Amalek, he answered him nothing.
nothing to the flesh.
He answered, no, that's what you have to see. You can't answer your accusations in yourself. That's the secret. This is the mystery of how you come to be in a position of the abandonment of self, because you do not answer Herod.
He didn't know anything to Herod.
You understand?
But he did to Caesar's representative, right?
Right, and to the Sanhedrin.
Cool.
But he owed nothing to Herod. You owe no debt to Herod. You don't have to even answer the son of a bitch.
Not even acknowledge.
You don't even acknowledge his presence. Can you hear this? This is big. Because most of you, all of you, all of us, at times, we get into these grand discussions with Herod. Fucking Herod. He was silent before Herod. You gotta see this. And Herod is hanging around the Holy Land. He's even now in Jerusalem. He's even in the New Jerusalem. He has some kind of an authority, but Jesus gives him nothing.
He's there for the feast.
No, but you got to see here. Yeah, he's Herod's there for the Feast of Passover, just like he's going
to
be in you.
He's supposed to do.
He's glad to see Jesus.
Yeah, he loves Jesus. He loves to see Jesus.
Do a trick. Yeah, do something. Herod.
Now, I didn't get into this morning because this isn't the kind of stuff you talk to the morning Bible study about. But
you know, it's funny, but there's a parallel here because he says he's exceedingly glad he'd heard many things and he hoped to see a miracle. And it reminds me of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was always wanting the magicians to come in and show him some new trick.
Okay, but listen, see this. This is, you've got to personalize this. You've got to understand this is you, or you'll miss the whole point of what's going to happen. Stop talking to Herod. You owe the flesh nothing. You owe the senses nothing. Now can you begin to see why Christ said, abandon Herod yourself? Pick up your cross. And the following him then will be automatic. Can you see why he said, take no thought for your life? Take no thought for tomorrow? Take no thought for what you're going to wear? Take no thought for what you're going to eat? Because those all would be giving breath to Herod.
What about in other people if they're in that place?
This has nothing to do with other people. This has to do with you. The only thing you can do to other people is to preach the cross.
It's like Ann Landering, though, is paying attention to it.
Well, Ann Landering, and then if you're allowing Ann Landering, then you've given in to Herod anyway. This is what I think. This is the solution I have. This is my opinion. It's all Herod.
If he paid some respect or some obeisance or something to Herod, it probably would have been different.
Of course.
That's all Herod wanted, really.
Herod just wanted to be told he was okay.
Acknowledge me.
I'm here. Just pat me on my head.
Oh, shit. Oh,
it's imperative that you see this, and it's imperative that you impart this to your people. But it's first of all imperative that you believe it. You hope to have seen some miracle done by him. I love this. And he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. He answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and set him again to Pilate, and sent him again to Pilate. This is yo-yo Jesus time here. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. That's another, I don't want to get into that one. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I have sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. You understand that? Those that teach that the Romans were the ones that crucified Christ have missed the point. You'll see now that three times Pilate goes back to the people and says, I want you to release. He was compelled to release one because of a long-standing custom. He went back three times begging to release, partly because his wife had had a dream about Christ. Don't watch. I will therefore chastise him and release him. So the scourging was all that he was going to receive at Pilate's hands. I want you to hear this. That's all that the world is able to believe about Jesus. They can't believe that he really died. They say that it's all in the words, he died and was rose, but that what they really believe is all he received was a scourging, and the blood was shed for you, and by his stripes you were healed. They cannot believe truly in the death, because to believe in the death of Jesus cost them their life. Can you see that?
Yes.
Can you see that that's all that Herod can believe?
I miss something.
I mean, it's the difference between dying to self and trying to
become better.
To do something, work yourself over, or, I mean,
yeah, it's worse. Squeeze some blood out of something.
In the title, what I see something. Is I'm Herod, and the stuff outside of me is Pilate. And all that stuff is going to do is test him and oppose him and scourge him. But what I have to do is kill him. It's not sufficient just to be tested.
Verse 17, For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. We all know who Barabbas was, right? Barabbas was allegedly one of the zealots. Leader of the zealots, who
Judas was a zealot.
Judas was a zealot.
I thought he was just a thief. I never thought he had a religious connection.
Yeah, he's a
wonder. Yeah, that makes it's more plausible than that that he should have notoriety, and that you know that they should want him released. Because he was a more fitting Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
At least he was trying to do the right thing.
trying to get those filthy Romans out.
One of the things that is it's one of the little-known facts is that these people that were yelling Barabbas were had all been listening to a whole lot of talk shows. Very early days of radio.
They were only partially informed, though.
Given to his brush.
What was this?
G. Gordon Liddy.
What was this pointing at? I you were
trying to bring I withheld. I didn't prophesy. I started to go beep 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 when you said a little known beat.
Oh yeah, really?
I was afraid I might be wrong.
He was going to say something really serious.
That really took a lot of spiritual discernment.
I didn't say that.
Who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Who's crying?
They're paying everybody.
Everybody. But it's...
everybody who had been put palm branches in the street.
And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voice of them and the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence. I mean, you can understand, it's Pilate reluctantly gave in to them. God, there's a great movie here.
So Rod Steiger was Pilate in the Jesus of Nazareth. He did a good job.
That's on this week.
And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But they delivered Jesus to their will. But he delivered Jesus to their will. That's all you can do when you play in the will of man and the illusion of free will. It's not, I mean, you can't do anything else. You must deliver Jesus to your will. This is why this gospel is hidden. The eyes are blinded by the God of this world. Can you see? But he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. He was a hero. He fought their fight. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem. Now listen to these next few verses. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. That's why it's so incredibly important. And as long as I'm alive, this was what will be emphasized, that the preaching of the cross must Be so that you and the people under you will experience what the judgment day of Christ is before it happens. So you will not be among those who cry for the mountains to fall upon you instead of being able to repent. Now here's this one, this is the kicker. Think on what this says. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And that's an eternal statement. If you do these things, here it specifically means if you do these things while the green tree himself is before you, what shall be done in the dry? But it also means if you do these things when things are going well for you, when you have shelter and food, what will you do in the barren or the dry or the arid or the desert? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant out of root, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. This morning, I went ballistic at this point. Now the mocking starts.
What was it that set you off?
They do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?
I mean, I like our continual
listening to
stuff when we have everything in the world we could possibly want.
How you crucify the Son of God afresh every time you complain. How you crucify the Son of God afresh every time you're not in the rest. How you crucify the Son of God every time you make a judgment. How you crucify the Son of God at the place of the skull every time you have this grand opinion. You continually crucify the Son of God afresh with one witness, which is illegal under the law. You believe that one witness more than you do the Word of God. Mene, mene, tekelu pharsin. You've been judged eternally in the balance and found eternally wanting. And yet, 2 seconds later, up pops the judgment. You cannot cast it down. You cannot bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so you give rise to Herod. If you've done these things in the green tree, what shall you do in the dry? Does everybody understand? Now the mocking. And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary or Golgotha, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. And they said unto Jesus, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. There's no possibility of understanding the meaning of Passover without the understanding that you are on that cross, and rightly so. We deserve it. We are rightly there.
Like there's only, I mean, there was one righteous man who was crucified. All that's left is
agreeing that you should be.
Yeah, and all, I mean, all that's left is malefactors who are crucified, and the question is, which one?
You see, I was seeing it.
Yeah, it's like the two other guys, or the whole rest of you.
Yeah, there's nothing else. Yeah. Which one?
And he said unto Jesus, by the act of saying, I deserve to be on this cross. This is my rightful place. And he said unto Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to the site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was in that Sanhedrin. And he was a good man and a just, and the same had not consented to the council and the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment.
That thing about the guy hanging on the crosses. Ever seen that? A confession.
Yeah.
We're here justly.
Wow. Remember your life. How many times you felt the puffing up of self. And you feed on it. You feed on that puff. And pretty soon you want justice. The effect of leaven is to think that you want justice. And that's why it's so absolutely, totally vital that the leaven be removed and burned, that we might follow on with the Lord. But don't feed on the leaven anymore. Come to him in weakness. Let this be truly the Passover of Mary Magdalene. Remember to undo your hair in public was forbidden. And she, because it was the worst sign of disgrace there was, and she twice undid her hair. First at the beginning of his ministry, and then at the end. Confessing by the act of undoing her hair, and then wiping with tears and ointment, that she was the chief of sinners by undoing her hair. And she stood in total weakness at the sepulcher. Peter and John looked, and all they saw was the linen. Mary looked and saw the angels. And then she stood, because she had nowhere to go. And Jesus said, "Mary." She was the first to see him. And she was the perfect type of the bride, the whore that left the world and all its values. Poured out everything she had in his feet. Don't come to Passover with leaven. Let it all go. Yeah? Anybody have anything else?
That green tree thing. Count me in a frustrating way, because I did see it, and it's like it's so much a part of what does go on around here, everywhere I guess, and it's so difficult to impart that understanding. I mean, it's difficult enough just to get it, much less to pass it on, and yet it's like so much of time is involved with blah, 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 blah.
Well, so much of time is involved with Herod.
Yeah.
Now, like no time, no eternity is not involved with Herod at all.
Yeah.
In fact, Herod can't enter eternity. Herod can't know peace. Now the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and the tree is dry.
And it's okay.
Now our life is hid with Christ in the heavenlies, in the New Jerusalem. We're seated at rest on the mercy seat. No more struggling. No more living in a curse. No more asking God to bless that which is cursed. I feel somebody has got an elephant in the room.
Really, I got a really big, really big thing. For the first time ever, I mean, I now know that I've been sitting here for these many years going, yes, I understand, yes, I understand, yes, I understand, and I have not understood. But I do now understand Levin. And I do now understand talking to Herod. The specific example is that about probably 3 weeks ago, a bird started singing every morning in the backyard. It's a damn mockingbird. And he wakes me up every morning. And I've been waking up earlier and earlier and earlier, and I can't get back to sleep. And I've been getting more and more tired, more and more sleepy. And I've been getting more and more angry every morning at this damn bird that's out there in total joy, singing and causing the sun to come up. I'm sure that's what he thinks. And I've been furious with the bird, and I thought if I could get a gun, I'd go out and I'd shoot the goddamn bird. And
So that's been going on now for about 3 weeks. And a lot of stuff, a lot of really neat stuff has been happening in and around me this Passover season. A lot of falling away of old stuff, a lot of seeing. But we started this big project last week. We got to get this done and for the lawyers. So starting last Thursday, in my mind, in my being, I started working hard. I started focusing. I started concentrating. I started putting out a lot of effort to do something. And I have, in my mind, worked hard, really hard, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and now Wednesday. And I started telling myself that I had worked hard, I'm tired, and I deserve some rest. I deserve some relaxation. I deserve a thing unto myself, some peace and some quiet and relaxation as a reward for having done something. And when I hear you saying, don't even talk to her, you know, you owe nothing to the flesh, it just in a moment became clear to me that I have been talking with Herod, I mean, my whole life, but I mean specifically, I've been having this conversation with Herod now. He's been telling me for days how hard I've been working, what a good boy I am, what a good job I've done, how conscientious I've been, and yes, you should now have a vacation. You should have this, this, and this. And it's just, I see it. I clearly see it. And it's happened. I can look back now. I can see this unbroken chain of situations where there's a thing that I can pull this out and say, this is mine. I've gone far enough, or I've done enough, or I've worked hard enough, or I've given up enough, or whatever it is. No more. This is mine. It's the same bullshit over and over. And I did not see that until, and now I see it very clearly.
But do you see how it puffs up?
Absolutely. There's no, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It makes weakness before God impossible.
It makes
you want justice.
It makes this big thing that wants justice. This thing deserves this. And anything that, and then gets pissed off and righteous, and judges and looks and measures. I mean, all those things. It measures, it weighs, it keeps score. This isn't fair.
I know.
Hmm?
I said, I know.
Let's see.
Amen. Anybody else?